At the end of each month, we check in with Great Lakes commentator and journalist Gary Wilson for updates on environmental stories from around the Great Lakes Basin. For today's Great Lakes Month in Review, we'll be talking about what impact the recent midterms could have on environmental policy, both in Washington and in Michigan. Gary Wilson, welcome back.
Hey, Mark, good morning, and an early happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Let's start at the national level. Republicans swept the Senate, and now Republican Senator James Inhofe of Oklahoma is expected to be the next chair of the Senate Environmental and Public Works Committee. Inhofe is a climate change skeptic. He has been a vocal critic of the EPA. What kind of impact do you see the Senate's new leadership having on environmental policy?
Yeah, Mark, I'm going to fall back on the old Wall Street axiom, past performance isn't always a predictor of what will happen in the future. But with Senator Inhofe, I think we kind of know what to expect. He's got all of his cards turned face up. For the last 6 years in the Great Lakes region, the Great Lakes have had a political tailwind at their back. This has allowed for advancement of restoration programs around the lakes. My fear is that we're now turning into a political headwind. Senator Inhofe, he chairs that Senate Environmental and Public Works Committee, which is a powerful committee. Almost all things related to the environment have to go through that committee and then across his desk, and he'll be controlling the agenda. But he's got a long track record of not supporting key environmental issues. An example is as recently as 2012, he voted to roll back mercury reduction protections. And mercury is a huge problem in the Great Lakes region. Most lakes in Michigan, for example, have fish consumption advisories for mercury. And going back to 2006, when the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative was just starting to gain traction, he spoke out against it. The League of Conservation Voters, they track all politicians' voting record on environmental issues, and his lifetime score is 8%, which means, according to the League, that only 8% of his votes in Congress were perceived to be pro-environment. Mm. So who knows, but it looks like we could be headed into that political headwind on the environment.
Well, you've mentioned specifically concerns about mercury. Any other environmental regulation that you think might be in jeopardy under this Republican majority?
Well, there is, yes, absolutely. There is an administrative rule called the Waters of the United States that's making its way through the regulation process. I don't want to get into the weeds on this, but it's a rule being put forth by the Environmental Protection Agency that will clarify what waters come under the protection of the Clean Water Act. And it relates mostly to streams and wetlands that a couple of Supreme Court decisions in recent years left it unclear whether these waters would qualify for protection under the Clean Water Act. The EPA decided to clarify this rule. It's very politically charged. Agricultural groups and real estate developers are dead set against it. Environmental groups absolutely support it. It's being put forth by the EPA. The Republicans have had the EPA in their crosshairs for quite some time, and they see that this rule is just an example of administrative overreach, and they're targeting its defeat.
Great Lakes commentator and journalist Gary Wilson is our guest. It's our monthly Great Lakes Month in Review segment. Not much changed during Michigan's midterm elections. Governor Snyder was reelected. Republicans held on to the legislature. What does this mean for the state's environmental policy?
Well, I think the governor, he didn't say much about the environment in the campaign, and that's typical of most politicians. It doesn't register high up on the list with the voters when they're asked what's important, but it is an issue nonetheless, and especially in Michigan. I'm not quite sure what to expect from the governor. I think, he'll probably stick to the middle of the road. The reality is the governor is he's a businessman turned politician. He's had some success. had success in business, clearly. He's had some success in Michigan. The voters reelected him, which is a big accomplishment. But I'm not sure what he's going to do related to the environment. And, you know, I suspect he'll stick along the middle of the road path, but we'll just have to see.
At the same time, Gary, you did acknowledge in a recent op-ed that Rick Snyder could be the governor who, quote, sets the regional environmental course. How so?
Well, he says, you know, I spent a few minutes with him in an interview earlier this year, and he told me that he wants to lead on environmental issues, and I believe him. I think that Governor Snyder really believes in protecting the environment. He's not a hopeless ideologue. If we were talking about Governor Scott Walker in Wisconsin, I would say, you know, forget it. Governor Walker has little, if any, interest in the environment. But Governor Snyder says that he does, and he sees himself as a leader in the Great Lakes region, and he wants that role. He said that comes with the territory, and he welcomes it. I think he just needs some people to kind of convince him to get off of the same path. You know, there are a couple of issues out there that I really wish he would engage on, and I hope he takes them up.
He's voiced support, if memory serves, for a higher renewable energy portfolio, correct?
He has. Yeah, that's energy. Energy is a big issue with him. You know, his director of the Office of the Great Lakes, John Allen, is an executive on loan from Consumers Power in Michigan. So the governor does place a big emphasis on energy. But when you talk about protecting the environment in Michigan, it comes down to water. And one of the areas where I think he can really have a long-lasting impact is if he focuses on conservation of groundwater. Groundwater is often referred to as the Sixth Great Lake. And I think he could leave a lasting and positive legacy for Michigan and for himself if he encourages his agencies to show a bias for conservation over consumption. And that would relate to when fracking issues come before the Department of Natural Resources and request to withdraw water by agriculture interests. Their ag is a big user. So just have a bias for protecting that groundwater. It's a treasure.
It's now approaching 4 months since toxic algae blooms forced Toledo to issue an order to not drink the water. 500,000 people were impacted for 3 days. What, if anything, has happened to this discussion since then, Gary?
Well, it's been one of those slow-moving freight trains, Mark, that I like to refer to. You and I have talked about. There has finally been a little bit of movement in the Ohio legislature. There's a bill that's trying to make its way out of various committees and through the legislative process in a lame duck session. And it would take the first steps at doing something about the fertilizer and the ag and the runoff into Lake Erie. And that's it has a provision that would prohibit farmers from putting manure on fields that are frozen or snow-covered, because the science says that just runs off. It doesn't do the job it's supposed to do.
Okay. We got to keep an eye on that. We got to run for now, though. Gary Wilson is a Great Lakes commentator and journalist. Gary, thanks for your time.
Hey, Mark. Always good to be with you.
This segment is supported by Michigan State University's Knight Center for Environmental Journalism. More news about the Great Lakes environment can be found at greatlakesecho.org and on Current State every Tuesday as part of our partnership.